Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Howdy, folks.
Edra Ekris is AWOL right now. She might be joining us, but we'll see. Hopefully she comes in, and if not, we'll hear from her next week. So what we're going to do is we're going to go over the latest episode of Moon Knight, and we're also going to go over some news. I just want to let you know, Jack, that I finished the Spider-Man PlayStation 5 game.
You finished it already?
Yeah.
What'd you do, just spend like 12 hours a day playing it?
Well, you get hooked after a while. Like, I usually play late at night, and, you know, I'll start at like 10, next thing you know, it's 1, then it's 2, you know, and you just keep going. You get hooked. Sometimes you get hooked with games, but it's the story that keeps you driven.
Well, it is a beautiful looking game. It really is.
It is. And, you know, it was remastered for the PlayStation 5. They changed Peter Parker's face where he looks more like Tom Holland. And at first I didn't like it.
I've seen something about that, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about it at first because he's supposed to be 25 in this and Miles is supposed to be 17. And they both look the same age to me. But I got used to it, though. It is, again, it's very nice graphically, and it's a cool game. You know, you can spend hours and hours and hours playing because there's side missions. It's right. Like you might go down a street and somebody's getting mugged, and you got to stop and fight the person that's mugging them, or somebody gets their car stolen. There's all these different side missions, which are pretty cool. And it came with DLC. And the first DLC that they had was with the Black Cat. And that was actually pretty cool. I was surprised. Again, she looks fantastic. Good.
Now, is that downloadable content, is that just a character? Or is it give a story?
No, it's a story.
Like a mini adventure or something?
It's about a 2-hour story. Yeah, it's a mini adventure.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
It is, because she's basically back in town and she's robbing museums and who's Hammerhead's involved. And she kind of alludes that she's carrying, or she had Peter's child. And Mary Jane is pissed off to find this out and Peter's shocked. I'm not going to give too much away, but... It was interesting.
Father is Norman Osborn.
Probably. Yeah, I guess I might as well give it. It's been out for a while.
Well, that's one of those most hated storylines ever in the comics. That
the whole thing,
Norman's baby.
Yeah, I know that was BS. Well, this was BS too, because they made it, the whole thing is like he would catch up to her and they'll have this long conversation. He'll help her with something. And he goes, "You have to let me know. Is that my child?" And she's like, "I'll tell you the next time we meet." And then by the end of the story, it's like, "Nah, I was just using you because I figured you have a soft heart and you would help me break into things and help me find my son. But I don't have any kids." So I was kind of disappointed because I would have liked to know that maybe there was a son of Peter around. And she was hot. I would dump Mary Jane right away. I would give her a walking papers. She is the B word in this story. She is so nasty, Mary Jane.
Well, really? Okay. Sure. I'm surprised, but.
Well, they make her, she's no longer a model. She's like Lois Lane. She's a reporter for the Daily Bugle or some other sort of newspaper. She's an investigative reporter. So they had broken up, I guess, prior to the game. And so Peter wants to get back together with her. And he's like, he goes, "Well, maybe I can ask her to go for coffee and we can just talk and try to rekindle what we had." And so he'll ask her, like, he's like, "Oh, would you mind if maybe we have coffee?" And it's like, "Sure, we can have coffee." And then
maybe I'll get that dance.
Yeah, it's worse. And then things are going well on the phone and he'll say, "Instead of coffee, how about I come over and I cook you dinner?" And she goes, "Well, now you're pushing it." It's like, "You're pushing it." It's like, she goes, I'm still not ready for any kind of relationship. And she dumps him a few times. Like, she text dumps him. And she says, I really think we need to go our separate ways and see other people. And then he's like typing and he goes, well, yeah, I guess you're right. I think that's the best thing. That's what bothers me. He's so weak in this and she is so annoying in this. Like, I just don't like her. She's just very nasty, but she's jealous that because they get back together at the end. And then with the DLC, now that Black Cat's in the picture, so she's pissed off and she hangs up on him because he even tells her, he's like, I got news. I saw the Black Cat and I think I might have a baby with her. And she's like, you what? It's like, you're not married. I know it's fiction, but it's just like annoys the hell out of me. She hangs up on him. And, women, sorry. Just the way they're written. And she uses him throughout the whole game. It's like she'll dump him and then she'll say, oh, I need you to go into Kingpin's office and see if you can find this statue because I'm doing a report on it. And he's like, sure. And then she's like, what took you so long? Like, she's so annoying. I don't like her. But on top of that I finished that Spider-Man, I finished the Miles Morales Spider-Man too.
Now, is that another add-on adventure?
No, that's a different game.
Oh, a different game altogether?
Yeah, no, it was a good deal. It was $50 for the two games. And, you know, it was like a two-pack. Yeah, they made this one, and it's beautiful. It takes place.
Is it built off the same engine as the first Spider-Man?
It's the first one, I think, came out in 2018, and this one came out 2020, I think. So it looks a little better for sure, but it's based on they're using the same assets from the first game because you're basically going through Manhattan and, you know, you see all the icons that are Manhattan, the Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, Grand Central, Statue of Liberty, whatever. But it looks incredible. Like when you look at how huge the map is, it's just amazing. But what's nice about this takes place around Christmas time and it's snowing. So it looks completely different from what you were playing before. So Peter is going on like a working vacation in Europe with MJ because she has to do some investigating reporting crap. And so he tells Miles, so while I'm away, you're the only Spider-Man in town. So you need to take over for me. And he gives Miles a suit, which looks like crap. Looks like one of his old suits that just doesn't look very good. But eventually him and Ganky's in it, comes up with a Miles suit and it looks kick-ass. It looks beautiful. I love his suit, you know, the black one with the red webbing.
Yeah. And you know what? It's really a shame that they went away from that in the comics now. He's got this really weird looking, it looks like he's wearing sweats instead of that costume. Because that black costume with the red webbing,
yeah,
that was pretty sharp. That was cool.
It was.
But
it
is. This new costume is just god awful.
Is it a hoodie? Does he wear a hoodie?
I think it does have a hoodie, but it's not up all the time. No, it's just a terrible costume.
No, because you have these options in the game, like where you can choose from maybe 20 different costumes. And what sucks about it is most of them are hoodies. And, you know, when you're swinging, I don't want to see some guy wearing a hood. I want to see someone with a Spider-Man mask on. So I never really choose them. But I actually kind of enjoyed this better than the original one. It was shorter, which I kind of appreciated. I'm not into super long games. And this one was just the right amount of time for me. And you're also completely powered up. Like you don't have to unlock so much and everything. And who's the villain in this? So the villain in this, which is weird, it's the Tinkerer. And before you start making flips, Jack, it's the Tinkerer is his ex-girlfriend in this. They went to school. So they gender switched the Tinkerer and they, I guess, race switched the Tinkerer.
And age reduced because you just used to be this old crotchety guy.
Oh, yeah. She's 18 years old.
You know?
But she's cool, though. I mean, she's a good villain. Like, she's got this tech that she kicks Spider-Man's ass every time she fights him. But what annoys me about Miles Morales, and I love the game and I love playing as him and I love the character. The things I don't like about him, I don't like that he's called Spider-Man. It always bothers me that they couldn't have come up with a different name. There should only be one Spider-Man. Like, there should only be one Batman. There should only be one Superman. Call him the Spider or something.
When he came along in the Ultimate Universe, Peter Parker had died. So he took over the mantle of Spider-Man, you know, and I forget who told him. It's like, you know what, you can, you know, in honor of Peter Parker, you should continue the name as Spider-Man.
Well,
so he did.
But there was a point when two of them were alive at the same time. So what did they call him?
Well, that's just it. You know, once everything kind of merged together, they just kept the name. So I'd rather they call him Spider-Man than Spider-Boy or Kid Arachnid or something, you know.
Well, Spider-Boy, Spider-Teen, that's a little too much. But I think they could come up with a cool name for him. But I just don't, again, there's only one Spider-Man. And I feel, the character is ripping off Peter Parker because he's got his powers. Not only does he have his powers, he's better than him. Like, he's got more powers than him. And these powers
powers. I don't know if he's as strong as Peter Parker.
I don't know, but I'm just saying in the game-wise, he's got the Venom Strike.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cool power, but it's just not Spider-Man. And it just overpowers him. Like, it's just ridiculous. Like, at some point, there is basically going to be a nuclear explosion in Harlem. It's going to destroy all of Harlem and most of New York. And he absorbs all of that into his body. And he needs to get out of town so he can release all of that energy. And I'm like, come on, that's not
Spider-Man. I didn't know energy absorption was part of his power set.
Well, it is in this game anyway. And the other one is his invisibility. Now, my nephew is telling me it's more of a cloaking feature in the comics.
Yeah, it's more like camouflage. He's not truly invisible, but, you know, he can blend in with his surroundings.
Well, in this game, he's invisible girl, invisible, you know.
Okay.
And there's no doubt about it. It's just completely invisible. Again, if it's in the comic books, like if he can blend in, like where, like a chameleon, like where he takes on the colors of his surroundings and the textures, that's cool. But to turn completely invisible, that just doesn't make any sense. There's no spider that has that power that can turn completely invisible. I can buy, again, blending in, but not invisibility. Other than that, you know,
stealth mode, you know, but
yeah, but it was a great game. It was a beautiful looking game. I thought it looked, I'm not going to say a lot better than the first one, because the first one looked pretty damn good too, but I really liked it. I preferred it over the original Spider-Man. I don't know if it's because I went in blind to this one, because I kind of knew the story of the first Spider-Man game. But I'd say if you have a PlayStation 4 or a PlayStation 5 and you haven't picked that up, get it. Both of them are very good games.
So, there you have it. The Joe Hogarty seal of approval.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Too bad we don't have like the old movie credits with, you know, the guy with the hammer.
I don't need a hammer. All right, let's get into the news. So I know I had sent this to you, and I don't know if you watched it. Did you watch the Lightyear trailer?
Yes, I did.
All right, so what are your opinions on it?
I'm looking forward to it. I think it looks great. I mean, I loved in Toy Story 2 when they had, like, the Buzz Lightyear, you know, adventure in the beginning. You know, I have to say, this is probably the first Pixar I'm actually looking forward to in a while. because I've been very hit or miss with Pixar for a long time.
They have not been good in a long time. I would say maybe 10 years.
Yeah. But I mean, this one I'm actually kind of excited about. And we got to see Zurg. We know Zurg is in it. So
it was in the last trailer too.
I don't remember in the last trailer, but you know what? When we saw Zurg's robots, they look like one of those 80 video games. Remember the game? I think it was called Berserk.
Or is it Metroid?
No, it wasn't.
Like, no, maybe it was Berserk. Yeah, I know.
But it was like you're running through a little maze and you have the robots. I saw those robots, and that's immediately what I thought of. That it looked just like them from that old
game. Yeah, I could see that.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to Lightyear. I think it's going to be fun.
I think visually it looks really, really good. I'm impressed with the graphics for the movie. They usually do a pretty good job. Although that movie that they did recently, Turning Red, which I liked the story, but I wasn't impressed with any of the visuals at all. It just looked like they kind of phoned it in.
Yeah, we did watch that one. And I think that went to a lot of the stylized character designs.
I liked it, though. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. The one thing about Lightyear that kind of irked me was that little cat robot.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That like irked me. I would have rather they just gave him a robot. Give him like a little Wall-E type droid to follow him around.
That's a good point.
The little cat just—I don't know. It's going to be one of those cutesy gags that runs through the movie. I'm dreading, but the rest of it looks great.
Oh yeah, that's just for merchandising. You know that Disney has some sort of robotic cat that they're ready to sell by Mattel.
Yeah, probably.
So my problem with this movie is, there's a couple of things that I don't like. Well, first of all, they're introducing, you know, this girl character, his partner, in the beginning. And I don't like, and I said this when I saw the first teaser, that she is somewhat helped come up with the term to infinity and beyond. It's kind of like taking away from the main character that was his catchphrase. And you know why they're doing it. I mean, I know I bring this up way too much, but Disney's been in the news lately, and I think that they even said it. To me, this looks like this is the direction that they're going. They're going to be pushing inclusiveness and diversity. And to me, it sticks out like a sore thumb. It just doesn't seem natural. Maybe if I see the movie, I'll feel differently. But right now, since I read some of the words that some of the leaders at Disney had said, it's very obvious that that's what they're pushing in this movie.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with diversity and inclusiveness, but their method is just so extremely heavy-handed that it starts to wear on you. That's really where it kind of goes. And hopefully they're going to start getting more pushback. I love that article about the employee saying, hey, you know what? We don't need to get this shoved down our throat all the time, you know, and if we don't 100% fall in line with it, you know, people are calling us, you know, racist and bigots and all sorts of terrible things. And, you know, it's true. It's the woke and nutty is just out of control once again. And Disney listens to this vocal minority versus what the rest of their customer base thinks. And I you know what? I hope they start to get some backlash over it.
Well, that does seem like they are. But I think the problem is it seems forced. Like, I was watching Fat Albert recently. I went on a YouTube and they had most of the episodes on there.
And that would never be made today.
I don't know. But I loved it as a kid. You know.
Oh yeah, Fat Albert was great.
I was talking to my friend, like, when I was a kid.
And a junkyard band, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's controversial now because Bill Cosby is the creator of it. But, you know what? it just brings back a lot of memories. I know he's a dirtbag and whatever, but I still enjoy watching it. And it's fun. It was just a fun time. And it was just something like when we were kids that I looked forward to. Like, I never liked Scooby-Doo. And it used to drive me nuts that they used to renew that every season. I never understood it. I remember Taylor was a huge fan of Scooby-Doo. Did you like Scooby-Doo?
You know what? I could take or leave Scooby-Doo, but they did do an update not too long ago.
Oh, that movie?
No. They had an update series where it was, once again, a different style of animation. But I got to tell you, it was hysterical because, you know, Scooby and Shaggy were pretty much the same. But Daphne was like this manic, compulsive girl. Like she was crazy in her own way. And Fred just wanted to make traps all the time. So Fred was like borderline, you know, serial killer or something. But you know what? The way they did it, it was just hysterical. And I got to say, I love that Scooby-Doo bit. There was a lot of stuff in it that wasn't exactly kid friendly, but I don't think it was written for kids. I think it was for the nostalgic crowd, but that was great. But Scooby-Doo, I could take them or leave them. I liked when they used to have the team ups all the time every week.
I hate all that crap. Well, my problem with Scooby-Doo, it seemed like school. It's like you had to figure out the mystery. It's like, I just want to watch cartoons and turn off my brain and have a good time.
You can turn off your brain and watch Scooby-Doo.
None of the mysteries were that hard, dude. Well, when you're a kid,
I was a kid, they weren't that hard.
I'm not saying all of them were that hard, but you eventually figured out the least one that you would expect is usually the person that's the villain. Anyway, but Fat Albert, my point is, it never felt forced. Just like I watched probably about 20 episodes recently.
But they also, here's the thing, like you're saying, it never felt forced, but they always had a lesson happen.
They did. And I read up on that, CBS pushed back on it. They said that kids don't want to hear lessons. And Bill Cosby's like, no, it's important that we teach them.
Yeah, but the lessons weren't like beat over the head. It's like, don't cheat, don't lie, you know.
No, it wasn't heavy handed. It was fun, because it was real comedy and you loved all the characters. And they would have every now and then, they'd have a token white guy in there. But it wasn't every week. You know, it was like split up and all that. I think it just goes to show that I think we had a better grasp on reality back then. If characters and writing were good, kids are going to watch it regardless. But when you force something, and it was fun. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my beef with Lightyear. I'm going to go see it for sure. I mean, it looks good. I hope it's good. Because a lot of times I'll see a trailer and I'll see stuff like that. And I go, because I was like that with Turning Red too. But then when I watched it, I got right into it and I enjoyed it.
Well, don't read too much up on Lightyear.
I won't.
Going relatively blind, and you may enjoy it more.
No, I will. We'll see. All right, so let's get to the big trailer that came out this week, and that was Thor: Love and Thunder. And I know you've seen that, so what's your opinion on that?
I honestly still have no idea what this movie is about.
Oh, I can fill you in, but...
I mean, there were some funny bits in it. You know, of him saying, you know, I got to find out who I am, you know, and, you know, the answer is easy. You're just this big guy with the power of a god who enjoys having that power and has fun with it. That's Thor. And that's when he worked best. He worked best like that in the first one, when he started to become more of a serious Thor in the Dark World. That had some problems. But then they went totally insane again in Ragnarok. I just don't know what's going to happen in this movie.
He was very serious in Infinity War.
he was serious in Infinity War, but he was still kind of a goof. Like when he met up with the Guardians of the Galaxy and the way he was just dismissing Peter Quill, you know, he still had there was still a lot of a comedic side to Thor in Infinity War. You know, in Endgame, they just played the physical laughs on him. But like I said, I definitely want to see it. I just have no idea how it fits together. I mean, the bit we saw of Jane Foster as Thor, it looks like she's at like a demolition derby or something. There's like wrecked cars.
Oh, you think so?
I have no idea what, but that's what I thought. It's like, why is she at a demolition derby or something? I have no idea what's happening in it, but I'm going to go see it.
Oh, no, of course. I liked it. I thought it was a good trailer. It was fun. I watched it a couple of times. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, eh, it's fun, you know, but I kind of see that they might be pushing a certain angle with it. But I thought
well,
it was
good.
Well,
we get to see a training montage, so I hope they go full on Rocky with it.
I do too. Yeah, no, I like that. And I used to do that at the gym too. Like I would use the ropes to work on my arms. And yeah, that can be very difficult. I appreciate when I do stuff like that.
Oh, no, I'm just thinking for if they go full on the Rocky 80s training montage, I think that'll just be funny to watch only because you're instead of, you know, Rocky working out on a punching bag, you know, and lifting weights, you have someone like Thor who's, I don't know, lifting an iceberg, benching, you know.
No, they kind of did that with Mr. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a very funny bit. I thought it was kind of cool when you saw him running as a kid and growing older as it went, that his costume was changing as it did through the comics. So I thought that was pretty.
I didn't like the authentic Thor costume, like when he was a teenager. Like,
oh, yeah, but that's only there for the running montage.
I know, but I'm just saying they could have made it look a little better. I think that I hate when they do crap like that because they did that with Captain America in the first Avenger.
Right, you know, was like Star Spangled Man.
It's like, you want an authentic costume? This is what it looks like. No, you know, you can make a costume that looks pretty close to the comic book, like Spider-Man, and still has some updates to it and make it look good. I'm sure they could make a kick-ass Captain America costume. And they have. I've seen it. Like, I still think that costume that was in that that one when, what's his name? Salinger's son played Steve Rogers, that movie that was in the 80s. I thought it looked really good. It's the one that had the Red Skull.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
And he was Italian, though, the Red Skull for some reason.
He was an Italian fascist.
He was a fascist. But, yeah, that's a minor beef, though. What was I going to say? All right, so let me read you the synopsis. So the movie finds Thor on a journey unlike anything he's ever faced, a quest for inner peace. But his retirement is interrupted by a galactic killer known as Gore the God Butcher, played by Christian Bale, who seeks the extinction of the gods. To combat the threat, Thor enlists the help of King Valkyrie, Tessa Thompson, Korg Takiki Wakiki, and ex-girlfriend Jane Foster, who, to Thor's surprise, inexplicably wields his magical hammer, Mjolnir, as the mighty Thor. Together, they embark upon a harrowing cosmic adventure to uncover the mystery of the God Butcher's vengeance and stop him before it's too late. So that's what the story is about.
Yeah, but we didn't see any of that in the trailer.
We saw
there's no mention of the hunt for Gore, trying to find Gore.
He might not have been in the trail. We did see Zeus, though. I don't know if you...
We saw Zeus. Actually, them bringing the Greek gods in, that could lead to a lot of cool stuff, because that could bring Hercules into the mix of the MCU, and Ares, who's built up as quite a pretty cool character over the last few years. So there could be some good stuff by introducing Greek mythology as well.
Yeah, no, there could be. And I think we discussed it last week. It would be interesting too, if they, or was it, No, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Her mythology went way off the rails last week.
Yeah, where's Fedra? No, Tom had emailed us, and he had mentioned that he thought that maybe this is a way to bring all the gods together, including the Egyptian ones from Moon Knight, which is a pretty good thought. It's very possible that they could do something like that. I heard it, there's rumor, and it could just be fans' wishful thinking, that Beta Ray Bill is going to be in this one.
Who knows? We saw a glimpse of him in Ragnarok on the Game Master's Tower.
Yeah, I was never a fan of the character because he's just basically, he's got like a horse's head in Thor's costume. No,
Beta Ray Bill's pretty cool. I think he's cool, but
I would like for them to, you know, maybe it's hard to do, to introduce the other Thor. What was his name?
Red Norville?
No. The one that was in, he was in
Thunderstrike?
He was in the Infinity Gauntlet. I think it was the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah.
Yeah, he went on to become Thunderstrike.
Oh, he did. Okay.
But Thor's got his look in this movie.
Yeah.
With the red vest.
I wouldn't mind, again, you know, like if we saw another Thor. Well, speaking of another Thor, so what'd you think of Jane Foster's Thor?
Well, from what I've seen of her, she looks good. My only wonder is how they're going to handle the height difference. That's all.
She does look a little short.
Well, she's 5'2".
Yeah.
Love Natalie Portman, but she's not tall. And I don't know how they're going to do that. Like, I would have thought they would have had her play Jane Foster. When she transforms into Thor, they would have another actress come in. Because like, in the
Gina
comics,
Carino.
Huh?
Like Gina Carino.
No, I wouldn't say Gina Carino, but
you know who would have been a good Thor back? Oh, Jane Foster Thor was Brigitte Nielsen back in the day.
Maybe, yeah.
Because she's really tall and she was muscular.
Yeah, but she was muscular, but she wasn't big like Gina Carino.
No.
Who's also great, and I wish we saw more of her soon. But yeah, like when Jane Foster changed into Thor, she looked totally different. She was 6 foot something, you know, instead of having short red or brown hair, she had long blonde hair. You know, she was a totally different person. But I get that they have Natalie Portman, so let's use Natalie Portman as much as we can. I just think, I'm just wondering how it's going to look because, you know, Helmsworth is just such a tall guy. And then you have, what's his name, Korg, who's also as big as Thor. And then you have, like, little Jane Foster Thor, you know.
I've only seen promotional art with them standing next to each other, and she is shorter than all of them.
Well, I mean, they're shorter than it is a lot shorter. But hey, you know what? We'll see how it goes.
I think the majority of people that are going to see this movie are not even going to be familiar with Jane Foster Thor. Marvel fans will be. But I think that a lot of the people that do go and see these movies are not huge, diehard Marvel fans. They just enjoy the movie. And even if you are a Marvel fan, it doesn't necessarily mean that you know who Jane Foster Thor is because she's fairly new. What would you say? Like, she came within the last...
Yeah, she was around for a few years, though.
Like 10 years or less than that?
She was maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. So it's possible that most people don't know the character. So I think that they'll accept her for who she is. I will. You know, I don't think I'll have that big of a problem because I haven't really read much of Jane Foster Thor. I know what she looks like. I would like to see her eyes glow, and I have a feeling that'll happen at some point. Huh. But yeah, no, it looks good. You know, it's, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I enjoyed this trailer much more than Doctor Strange one. And I'm looking forward to this one much more than Doctor Strange.
Well, as a Thor fan, of course I'm looking forward to this, but I'm also looking forward to Doctor Strange because I'm curious on what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It's coming up.
Coming up soon. Tickets are already on sale.
Yeah. All right, so there was a replica helmet for Jane Foster's Thor that was released for Thor Love and Thunder, and they gave a description of her character. So I'm going to read it to you, and this might shed some light on it, and it might actually make you, maybe kind of happy, because it's fairly, I would say, reminiscent of the comic book character. So it says, suffering from cancer, astrophysicist and Thor's ex-girlfriend Jane Foster visited New Asgard, and her life has changed forever. Mysteriously, the broken pieces of Mjolnir, the hammer of the thunder god, transformed her into the mighty Thor and gifted her the superpowers of Thor to battle threats internal and external. Wielding Mjolnir herself, she had become a godly protector, and a new hero was born. With the help of Thor, Valkyrie, and the Guardians of the Galaxy, the mighty Thor was faced by the powerful Gorr, the God Butcher. With divine powers himself, Gorr was driven to rid the universe of gods wherever he found them. Battling cancer in her human form and Gorr in her godly form, Jane Foster was embroiled in an epic struggle with plenty of love and thunder.
That's kind of a cheesy way of fitting the title in there. Yes. They could have said plenty of thunder, but no, plenty of love and thunder. From the description, I don't know where love falls in. But basically she was in Asgard when Thor found himself unworthy. And when he found himself unworthy, he could no longer lift the hammer. So there was kind of a mystery for a little while in the comics who the new Thor was. And, it turned out to be Jane Foster. But I just remember, when they did it, the hammer was just there. And you saw a hand, like a frail woman's hand, reach out, grab it. And then there was the flash of thunder, as she started to lift it. So the way they did it was pretty cool. The thing with Jane Foster is every time she transforms into Thor, it resets her cancer. So she has cancer. She's going through chemo and everything. She gets the hammer, goes off as Thor, comes back, and any treatment she went through since then is erased, and she's back where she started. So she's constantly going back to where she started. And it's kind of a sad, it has some, her storyline has some very sad moments in it, because she's puts her faith in medicine, because in the comic she's a nurse and eventually becomes a doctor. She's putting her faith in medicine over magic, even though she knows magic exists. She looks at it as a shortcut, and she puts her faith in magic. I mean, in medicine, not magic. And eventually gets to the point where if she transforms one more time, it's going to kill her when she reverts back.
It's possible. It sounds like they're following it,
I don't know how much they're going to follow it, because I can't see them bringing her back and then not giving her a happy ending, though. Eventually she does get cured in the comics, but it's just a matter of, I can't see them. In the comics, you can drag a storyline out a lot longer than you could in a movie. So I think she's good. I hope they give Jane Foster a happy ending.
No, I'm sure they will. They're probably, maybe one of the gods will cure her or something. But no, I just think it's interesting that they are addressing the whole cancer part, which I wasn't sure if they were going to do or not. And right. I like when they're faithful to the comics. So I think that's a good idea. And I think, you know, this is a tough subject to talk about, but I also think that I think it was a good idea to create a character like that, that is going through cancer and chemotherapy, because it gives hope to a lot of people too, that are going through cancer. And a lot of women do go through cancer, and I think it's a very good character for them, like an inspiring character. Like if I was probably, you know, if I had to go through all that, I think after all chemotherapy, I'd probably get a Jane Foster tattoo or something like that. Or something like related to Thor. Like if I was reading the comics to help give me inspiration. But it sounds good. And I did notice in the trailer, when you first see Jane Foster, you see that Mjolnir is kind of put together. It's like in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
I'm curious how it comes back together. So,
well, you remember like when Hela destroyed it.
Right.
And I guess that's around where they are in New Asgard.
New Asgard's in Norway, and that's where Odin considered home. So it could be in the vicinity.
It seemed like it was, you know, like that was during Ragnarok when he died, when he said goodbye to his sons. So she probably finds the pieces. Like she might go walking and then all of a sudden she stumbles upon the pieces.
Or the Asgardians collected them, found them, collected them, and brought them back to New Asgard. And while she's there, who knows, maybe her worthiness is the glue that brings it together. I don't know. I don't know what we'll see.
Here's my problem with Jane Foster Thor, is you have to be very worthy to be Thor. I still don't understand why they consider her to be worthy of Thor, because there have only been a few people that were able to lift that hammer. And again, we always talk about Superman was one of them. I think maybe Wonder Woman. Jane Foster, I don't get.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could be because of her battle with cancer and how she's dealing with this insurmountable problem. Not problem. How I don't even know how to, I can't even think of how to phrase it. This tragedy of having cancer, maybe the way she's handling it is what gives her the worthiness. It speaks of her character.
There would be millions of people on this planet that could lift Mjolnir then.
I'm right? Not saying they couldn't. Maybe she was in the right spot at the right time to pick it up. I don't know.
Well, the one thing I was thinking is that maybe she got cancer in the Dark World. She consumed one of the Infinity Stones. Was it the Power Stone?
What was the red one? They changed the color around. But yeah, when she had the, what was the name of it? Well, whenever she had the Infinity Stone energy in her, maybe the cancer is a result of that.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, it's possible. And maybe that could make her worthy in a way, because without her, the Dark Elf would have gotten that stone.
And remember, they said, like, very few beings can hold on to an Infinity Stone without harm. So, you know what? I think you could be definitely onto something there, that because she had it in her, maybe that's the cause of her cancer.
Yeah.
Because whatever that stuff was, could have screwed with her system. And that could be the very reasonable explanation to why she's caught something.
Yeah, just think about it and you come to a solution.
Yeah, and maybe it might not be cancer per se. It could be a type of cancer or something similar.
It's almost like,
I don't know how they're going to work it. So
it's almost like being exposed to a lot of radiation.
Right.
So it's possible. But one last thing before we leave Thor, Love and Thunder, and I said this to you guys, I give Natalie Portman props. She really worked out.
Looks good.
I give her credit because she's always been like a very petite girl. And when you see a girl like that, and you look at her arms and her body, she did not take this. She took it very seriously. And I think that's very important. That's why I always ragged on Gal Gadot. She makes a great Wonder Woman, but she did not take her workout routines. She did not take her diet seriously. All the Marvel girls did. Brie Larson, Evangeline Lilly, and now Natalie Portman. Fantastic. I give her so much credit. I saw her on the set, not in the Thor costume, like a picture of her. And yeah, I could tell
she was like walking around or something.
Yeah, you could see.
Yeah, I remember seeing the picture.
You know, it's not CGI. She had big arms and her shoulders too. So she definitely worked out. So you got to give someone like that credit. I hope she's very good in the movie and I hope the movie's good. We'll see. That's coming out July. I think it's July 7th. All right. Next story. So this dude made it into the Guinness Book of World Records by seeing Spider-Man No Way Home a total of 292 times in the theaters. And he's actually a resident of Florida. His name is Ramiro Alanis. He's a diehard fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He saw that movie, No Way Home, 292 times from start to finish. And he broke a record. He previously owned the record back in 2019 after watching Endgame 191 times. So this guy definitely has a lot of free time.
Time on his hands.
Yeah. I was thinking, it's like, well, that's got to be expensive. And it could have been, but he could have had one of those cards too, you know, like where you can go to the theaters and you could see movies just multiple times and just see them over and over and over again. So it's not that expensive, but I just think it's insanity to see either one of those movies as many times as he did in theaters. I mean, they were okay movies, but they weren't movies that I'd want to see almost 300 times.
I agree. I can't imagine any movie that I would want to watch that many times in the amount of time of theaters in the movies.
What was the movie that you saw the most in theaters?
Let's see. I would probably say the original Star Wars.
How many times do you think you've seen it?
When it was in the theaters?
Yeah.
When it was in the theaters, I would say I probably saw it 6 times.
And that was in the 70s?
That was in the 70s. Because I remember it was in the Oriental Theater on 86th Street in Brooklyn. And it was such a huge movie theater back in the day where, you know, they had only 2 movies in the whole place. And like, you could sit there, and if you liked the movie, you could just keep sitting there and watch it over again. And I remember a bunch of us went and we watched Star Wars 3 times in a row. And then I had seen it once with my dad. I think we went on another day to see it one more time. So I think I saw it about 6 times.
I saw Star Wars once in the theaters. Because again, I went with my family. I saw it at the Fox Theater in Staten Island. And, you know, at that time, and I don't know if you experienced this too, it was a long line to get in. Like, we didn't make the show that we wanted to make. So we had to wait outside until the next movie had gone. Like, we waited, I'd say, like maybe 2 to 3 hours before we were able to see the movie. You didn't have to experience that?
It depends where the movie was playing. If you went, there were like several movie theaters, but the Oriental was just by far. I mean, eventually split it up, I think, into 8 different theaters once they started breaking the movie, you know, each theater down to fit more screens. But the Oriental is just a huge movie house. And I don't remember having lines there. I remember lines at a couple of other theaters when I went to see other movies. But for Star Wars, it was playing there. And like I said, we went in on an early show and we just stayed.
Let's see. Star Wars came out in 77. So I was like 9 years old when, was I 9 years old? Maybe I was 10 when it came out, right? You were my same age as me.
Oh, I remember I got in so much trouble.
Why?
Well, because, you know, back in the day, it's like, you know, you went out to play and you knew what time you should be home for dinner, but we were in the movies and.
Oh yeah. If you saw that, you were in there for 6 hours. At least
Annie McCarthy was not pleased. Late for dinner? No, we just missed dinner altogether.
But you know what's interesting? Like, I remember seeing that movie, and again, it was something new. It was something like we never had seen before. And the crowd that I had seen it with, it wasn't exuberant. It was just like they clapped at the end. You know, but then when you saw Empire and Jedi people, that's when people became fans of the movie and they were more invested in the movies. It's kind of like, I would say like some of the movies that I remember, like when the audiences really participated in the movies was Rocky, like most of the Rocky movies, people would stand up and scream at the screen, you know? But yeah, the first Star Wars, it wasn't like that. I'm sure it was like that, like in other states and cities. But I'm just saying, like what I remember, it, you know, people still weren't sure what to think of it. It was, again, it was different, something like we'd never seen before. And again, what's funny too is back then, I thought Darth Vader was a robot.
Well, he was more a machine than man.
Yeah, like, well, I guess he is a cyborg, you would say, right?
No, I'd say, yeah.
But yeah, there was just a lot of things that, again, it was a cool time. All right, so mine is actually, I would say it was probably The Force Awakens. I think I saw that 7 times in the theaters. And, you know, I've seen The Phantom Menace, like, can I see it 4 or 5 times? That was just an inner struggle with myself.
I bet.
Trying to decide whether or not I liked it or I hated it. And then by the
and
last
you
time.
You had to decide how much you hated it.
Yeah, I was trying to talk myself into liking it. Because, you know, again, I was surrounded by people that could have been in The Emperor's New Clothes. New Star Wars movie. It's the best movie they ever made. I didn't see that movie. It's like, oh, it was great. It was awesome. It was the best out of all the Star Wars. I'm like, I got to go see it again. It's like, no, this sucked. I just don't like it.
Yeah, you know what? I think a lot of us were in denial because, you know, we had waited so long for more Star Wars. And it just, you wanted to like it, but you just couldn't. I mean, so you're like, maybe I missed something. I should give this another chance. And no, it still was god awful.
It felt like the Ewok movie to me more than a Star Wars movie, like an episode movie, if that makes sense. Anyway, what's the next story? Oh, so this was interesting. So Hayden Christensen has been binge watching the animated series of Clone Wars.
Rebels.
Did he say Rebels too? Oh, yeah, Clone Wars and Rebels.
Rebels too.
Yeah, he's binging on Clone Wars and Rebels, and all the movies too, apparently, to get back into the character, which I think is good because I really don't want to see too much Darth Vader in this. I hope that this whole battle that they have is a dream and that it's not an actual event. But I hope we see flashbacks of the Clone Wars and we get to see Anakin and Obi-Wan working together. And maybe that's why he's watching so much of Clone Wars, because he's basically Anakin in that. Why would you watch Clone Wars if you're going to play Darth Vader? So I'm assuming it's going to be flashbacks.
Honestly, I keep thinking the flashbacks would be him as Anakin, because I mean, really, from everything we've seen forever, you know, the last time they fought was at Mustafar. And I would kind of feel almost like, oh no, there was this one other time that, you know, they met afterwards. That just kind of seems to take away from the big moment in episode 3 at the end. When, you know, he's burning to a crisp and Obi-Wan leaves him there.
Well, it takes away also A New Hope too, you know, when they finally meet again.
Exactly. Kind of minimizes it. Like, well, you know what? They already fought a second time. Like, I hope they don't do that. I would rather see him and Anakin together during the Clone Wars when, you know, they were still friends and brothers and at arms and stuff, you know?
Well, yeah, I why would they ask Hayden Christensen back just to put him in a Darth Vader suit? So I'm assuming
that too.
We're going to see him in flashbacks as Anakin. He is going to be in the Darth Vader suit. I think there have been images of him in Darth Vader's suit. But yeah, if they were just going to bring Darth Vader, they could have got the guy that played him in Rogue One to play Darth Vader.
Right. It could be anybody under the costume. You didn't need to bring Hayden Christensen back.
I hope it's good, but I am just not a fan of Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi. He says he has been studying Alec Guinness more and more. And I think he's been looking at the Clone Wars too. So hopefully it's good, but we'll see. I have my doubts, especially after the Book of Boba Fett. And other stuff that Disney's been doing lately on Disney Plus, which we will get to.
Yes,
so Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is a sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, part one, has been delayed from October 7th, 2022 to next year, June 2nd of 2023. Part two will be released on March 29th, 2024. And I also found that too. I didn't know they had an official date for this, but Madam Web is going to be released on July 7th, 2023, which I think is very odd that that's such a popular date to release a movie like that. I mean, if you're going to release a movie in July, like you would release Thor, which they are doing, Thor Love and Thunder. Why would you release Madam Web if you're Sony on July 7th? I'm sure Marvel's going to have their big guns for July, and they're going to get creamed.
I don't know. The only thing I could think of, I don't even put that Madam Web into the mix, because that's like making a Watcher movie almost. You know, it's... If you're going to do Spider-Woman, where there's more action. Madam Web just is kind of like a
Doctor
Strange Watcher type character.
She kind of sits like on a throne, right?
Right. All I could think of, the reason to move it, is because Sony doesn't have much faith in what they've got as a tentpole movie in that summer. That they're going to take the hit and weaken their holiday season by moving Spider-Man back to strengthen whatever their summer is going to be.
I don't think
it's the movie itself. I think it's they just may not feel they have something strong enough that, you know, they want a surefire hit to bring people into the theaters.
Well, like I'm saying, I'm disappointed because I was looking forward to the sequel.
I want to see it too. I love the first one.
I mean, and after playing the Miles Morales Spider-Man game, I mean, I'm definitely watching the Spider-Man Into the Universe again, Spider-Verse. And yeah, I was looking forward to it. It was going to come out this year in October. And it's like, now what the hell am I looking forward to? I guess Thor, Love and Thunder.
When did they say they were going to try to have Kraven out?
They're still filming it.
Yeah. No, but when were they going to shoot for?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't think they had a set date.
The Spider-Verse movie into that slot because they don't know what they're doing with Kraven?
No, I don't think that's it. Well, again, who knows? Morbius might have had an effect too, because that really tanked at the box office.
Right.
So they may be reconsidering all of their spinoffs related to Spider-Man. But I would think that, you know, the Miles Morales animated movies are like a jewel in the crown of the Spider-Man movies. It's right up there with it didn't make as much money as the live action Spider-Man movies, but it was a good movie, you know.
It was really good movie.
Yeah. And it was beautiful to look at. I forget. I think it made about $400 million worldwide. So for an animated movie, I think that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't think Sony understands the fans' vibe, like what they want. That's why they give us Morbius, they give us Venom, and they're giving us Madame Web. And maybe one day we'll finally get Aunt May Super Spy.
I look at the slate of movies that they're making, and I don't understand how Marvel can have their formula going so right. And then you have Warner Brothers, Sony. You even had Universal when they had their big dreams of a MonsterVerse.
Yeah.
Like, why is it these other studios have such a hard time just making something that clicks with the audience? Like, what don't they get? Like, you know, as we've said before, Warner Brothers puts out Batman versus Superman, a movie that should be like printing money. And what we got was just a disappointment. You know, I don't understand how they can be so far off, you know. And I mean, nobody expected Morbius to be this huge, phenomenal hit, but it was really just kind of a flop from the way people talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how much they went in the tank for that. You know, it's like, I just don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. You know, it should have been a moderately financed movie, and it should have done moderately well. But instead they went for, you know, oh, let's bring Jared Leto in, you know, let's go for star power. And, you know, it didn't work. So they need to just start looking at what the hell they're doing.
If you look at it, I would say most movies suck now. I can't really think of a movie within the last few years, which I know you're going to get mad when I say this. The one that sticks out in my mind that I thought was really good was Joker.
You fool, Hogarty. How could you throw that up?
Because, you know, that's how I feel. I just think that was one of the few good movies. And I would even say The Last Jedi, there were a lot of things I liked about it. And there were some things I didn't like about it. But after that, I just felt like the movie industry's gone downhill. Like even the James Bond movies just haven't been good. I think that their problem is that they spend, which we'll get to, they spend too much money casting these big name stars, and they don't spend money on writing, or they're hiring the wrong people to write these stories. That again,
you know, I think you have it right. They're counting more on star casting than story. And you could have the best actors in the world, but if you don't have anything decent for them to work with, it's going to be mediocre at best. Look at the prequels. the talent that George Lucas had, and he wouldn't let them act.
You know? I still disagree with that. I don't think that they were awesome actors. They've all had bombs, all of them.
Yeah, but still, a collective, that collective pool of talent, it could have been a lot better.
I mean, he even got Yoda wrong. So, and Yoda was pretty good in the original trilogy, in the two movies that he was in. So, yeah, I mean, and Lucas did play a big role on it, but I would say that, I would not say that there was really top tier actors in the prequel trilogy.
I would disagree with you on that point, but okay.
All right. You can agree to disagree. All right. So this story, we've talked about it before. Ezra Miller got in trouble again and was arrested in Hawaii. He apparently attacked and struck a 26-year-old woman with a chair, and he was arrested second time within a few weeks. So
he was arrested on the same day he was supposed to be in court for the first time he attacked a woman.
And they let him out too. It kind of shows, like, you got money. You know what was funny? I don't know if you've seen this video. It was on Twitter, so I wasn't going to send it to you because I knew you weren't going to open it. But they had, like, someone had posted on Twitter, they were in Hawaii, and there was a TV, and you saw Ezra Miller's mugshot, you know, that he was just arrested. And the guy, I must have recorded it on his phone, and he scanned. He did like 180 degree scan, and Ezra Miller was underneath like a tree or something like that with a bunch of women. And he was just talking, you know, and he was having a good time and he was laughing. And it was just so hypocritical, you know, that he didn't spend any time in jail. Basically, they just let him out, and then he's going on and he's drinking. Nobody's doing anything about it. It's like, well, he didn't kill anybody, you know, so let him continue. He just gets like a slap on the wrist. But what do you think, though? Do you think Warner Brothers is going to do anything with him? Because he's in two of their big franchises, The Flash and Harry Potter, not Harry Potter.
The Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
I just wonder when they're going to have enough of this jerk and cut him loose. That's the only way I can see it. That behavior is just not acceptable. And it's just a guy attacking a woman twice now. Intent to harm. This isn't like the first woman chokeslammed.
Yeah.
This one he attacked with a chair. This isn't just like a shove or anything like this. This is intent to seriously harm a woman. And it's just how much longer are they going to put up with this crap? I mean, Warner Brothers themselves, they're putting him in a superhero movie, you know, that, you know, kids will look up to, you know, the Flash for Halloween, or they know he's a hero and stuff like this. And you get this piece of crap person to play him. I never thought he was anything great from what I've seen of him before. I think his reputation was overblown in the Justice League movie, which I think is unwatchable anyway. But I don't see what the big deal with this guy is that they keep putting up with this stuff.
Yeah, I don't understand why The Flash got a movie all to his own anyway.
Yeah, but I mean...
wasn't a standout character.
I believe there is a, you know, like a behavioral clause in the MCU actors where, you know, they have to go out and do the press tours. They have to do a certain amount of charity work. You know, they have to behave themselves. Look at the NFL. The NFL is the same sort of thing. You know, they don't put up with their players
That's not true. A lot of times they allow
there is a clause in the contract that if, you know, they are convicted of whatever domestic abuse or something, they have to behave themselves relatively, not to the point of anything crazy, but how does Warner Brothers not have something like this in their stuff themselves? Because that's just it. If they're building a franchise and this guy is a face of that franchise, you don't want this bad press coming out, you know? And here it is. This is the second time in a very short period of time that this guy has been troubled. This guy is a liability. When are they going to cut him loose? When is somebody going to say, when don't we have enough of dealing with this crap? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe. Tell me how wrong I am.
No, I agree with you. It's just like, I think it's another example of entitlement, like with what Will Smith did at the Oscars. And, you know, we've been.
Oh, yeah, he should have been dragged out with us.
Yeah.
Plain and simple.
And also what happened with, you know, what's going on now with the case with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, which, you know, they both seem like they're not very easy people to live with. But
right.
You look at their lifestyle, they think they can get away with anything. That they're above the rest of us. And I think that that's what Ezra Miller sees as himself. Even like today, I was disappointed. I saw Mike Tyson started beating some guy on the plane.
I just saw a picture of that before we came on air here.
There's video of it. You know, and the guy seemed like a jerk. I'm sure he was. He was annoying Mike Tyson. But, you know, Tyson should just call the stewardess over and said, this guy's annoying me. Get him out of here. But he just went to town on him. And that's going to cost him. It's like, you got to use your head. It's especially in these days when people have phones everywhere that they can record this stuff. Because that's going to cost him a couple of million dollars, I'm sure.
You know, because people will stop and take pictures rather than break up a fight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying the guy didn't deserve it, but you still, in a situation like that, you know, the first thing you do is, you know, you call somebody else to come in and break this up. Because they could have just said, hey, look, you know, if you're going to behave this way, did you see what they did to that woman? They duct taped her to a seat.
Yeah.
They should have done that to the guy. It's like, we got plenty of duct tape and we got an empty seat over there. Or duct tape them to the wing or something like that. But yeah, I know Ezra Miller, yeah, he's got problems. What annoys me is that he's got a huge fan base and that I read about, and they're always defending him. Like, they're always like blaming Warner Brothers. Like, why isn't Warner Brothers getting him help? It's they don't care. They're using him for money. But people have to take responsibility for their own actions. Again, I don't know if he has mental problems. It's very possible that he does, but he definitely has an aggression problem, like where if he doesn't like something, he just starts punching or swinging or throwing something at people. And it does sound like he's got issues with women.
It's like you said, throwing stuff at people. It's not he's doing this to people. He's doing this to women. If he tried any of that with a guy, he wouldn't, because he knows he'd probably get hit. He'd get the crap kicked out of him, you know, but he doesn't. He goes and he throws a chair at a woman. He goes and grabs a woman by a throat and slams her. You know, he's not picking fight with guys, you know, so it just shows what a piece of crap he is.
Yeah, no, it's really weird. And, you know, there's been talk, well, there's new owners now with Warner Brothers. And I don't think that they come into play officially. Like, it's like the whole deal had gone through, but I don't think they start making real decisions until.
Oh, my God, I could be very easily misquoted there. I apologize, people.
What?
He's not picking on people. He's picking on women.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
You know, that's not what I meant.
That's funny.
Women are people, thank God.
No, you meant to say men, not to.
No, but that was my point, you know.
Yeah. No, but these people might make a big decision. I could see them actually, because the movie's delayed. The Flash movie's been delayed. I think it's already been filmed. I think some people have seen it already, But I think what they could do is, if they really wanted to, if this guy is so much trouble and they feel that he's going to affect the bottom line, is they can replace him. And they've done it before. They did it with Back to the Future back in the day, where they filmed a majority of that movie. And I forget, of course, Charlie, if he was here, he'd be able to tell you who it was. I can't think of his name, the actor. But they replaced him with Michael J. Fox. And they also did that with Kevin Spacey recently, too. I think they replaced him with Christopher Plummer. So they basically, they refilmed all of his scenes with a different actor. And that guy went on to win an Oscar, too, for that role. So they can easily do that with Ezra Miller. I'm sure he's not in every scene. I would say he's probably in 40% of the movie, even though it's called a Flash movie. They just have to refilm those scenes with a different actor. It easily can be done. They would just bring in Keaton, Affleck, whoever he had contact with. Or they might not even have to do that. They can maybe even do it digitally if they wanted to. So it's possible. I think we could see that, but I think what's going to happen is they're going to cut him loose at some point. I think after this, if they're going to have a sequel, if this movie's successful, the Flash movie, they'll just get another actor to portray him. I just don't think it's going to be successful just because of DC's track record. Although Keaton is in it, and in our next story, that costume looked pretty kick-ass. You know, that leaked photo of him or production images of him.
I don't think it looked that different from his first time around as Batman. Well,
but that's the whole thing, though. It's like, you don't have to make something completely different. It was updated. You know, there were definitely changes. He looks good in the costume. The costume looks good. That's what we want to see. We don't want to see anything radically different than when we saw him last. So I'm glad that they did what they did. But yeah, just if you guys haven't seen it, just go on the internet and look for pictures of Michael Keaton as Batman from The Flash, and I'm sure they'll pop up. But he looks pretty good. Like, the one thing I wanted to mention too that was driving me nuts is I just don't understand these pronouns that people use, because like, he, Ezra Miller, refers to himself as they and them. And I was like, reading these stories, and it was like an Abbott and Costello bit. He was like, they were arrested. I was like, there were two people involved.
And yeah, how many people were fighting?
Yeah, it's like when the first story came out, like when he attacked that couple, and they basically, how they reported it, as they said that they were arrested. So I was like, so the couple was the one that attacked him because they were arrested. He wasn't arrested. I just don't understand pronouns. It's, you know, like, why they just doesn't work for me.
They is plural.
Yeah. They is plural. And I just don't get it. That's, If they want to use it, they can use it. But I'm just never going to get used to it. You know, if you want me to call you a specific pronoun. But again, if I'm with somebody and they want to be called a specific pronoun, I'm never going to call them he, she, or they. I'm going to call them by their name if I'm sitting next to them.
Right.
You know, but anyway, yeah, pronouns. All right, let's get into it. Moon Knight. So this one was called The Tomb. And what'd you think, Jack?
I know I'm going to have the unpopular opinion.
Ooh, okay.
I enjoyed the episode.
Wow.
Even though there was no Moon Knight in it, I thought it was a great, like, Indiana Jones episode. I enjoyed it. A lot. I liked how, you know, they go into things and Steven would be like, oh, look at you. You're beautiful. And she's like, oh, you're talking to the statue. He's like, look at it. It's gorgeous. Like, I enjoyed the episode. I liked it a lot. I did like the beginning, too. I find it very interesting that the, what would you call them, the Avatar Club, has imprisoned all those different gods into the little statues.
But they're basically gods, though.
They're avatars of other gods. So,
but the gods are within them, aren't they?
Yeah, they are the spokesperson of the gods, and the gods act through them. But they zoom back, and you see that wall with all these different little gods and captured in the little statues. And I wonder if that's going to be part of the big rollout. In the end, once Khonshu gets free, you know, Mark Spencer starts cracking open all these other statues.
I could see that, yeah.
You know, and the Council of Avatars gets theirs from, you know, these newly released gods or something. I thought that was an interesting subplot to open up the episode. But like I said, I enjoyed the whole Indiana Jones bit. The only part that made me cringe, I have to say, is when Layla is running around. Her and Steven are on the hill and that Jeep pulls up.
Oh, yeah.
And she takes a flare and throws it into the back of the truck. Well, how did she know they had all these explosives in the back of the truck?
Well, they had a lot of ammunition.
Yeah, but they had ammunition, but I mean, throwing a flare into the back of a truck, you know, it was almost like, you know, she knew they had like a ton of dynamite in the back. You know, she didn't know that. So I was like, well, how did she know to throw that in there? You know, I didn't quite get that. That was the only thing that really stuck out to me.
It reminded me of Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park?
Yeah, when Jeff Goldblum has the flare and he's trying to distract the dinosaur, the T-Rex.
Yeah, but he wasn't trying to blow up the dinosaur.
No, but I'm just saying that whole flare thing reminded me of that because she was trying to keep him away from Steven.
Oh, well, I mean, I did like her fight with what was that black guy, the wizard that were supposed to be guarding the tomb? And like she takes his hand off and he's trying to skewer her with a broken bone.
No, I didn't like that.
I thought that was, I'm like, holy geez, how crazy is this? You know, he's trying to stab her with his broken bone. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was like a great Indiana Jones type story. The insane asylum bit at the end was really weird.
Yeah.
All I could think of is that other sarcophagus is that third personality they hinted at.
Yeah. But
I had no idea where they were going with that. I don't know. But like I said, up until that, I thought the episode was great.
So what would you give it out of 10?
This one, I would give this one, I would probably give this an 8 out of 10. I'm telling you, I thought this was a very fun episode. And like I said, even though we didn't get to see Moon Knight, I still thought it was fun. Like even the little touches where, after he kisses her, Mark takes control of his hand and hits him in the face. You know, like little things like that I thought were funny too. So I really enjoyed this episode.
I hated this episode.
I know you hated it.
This is the worst one that they've ever done.
The worst?
Yes, I would say it's the worst one.
No, I don't think
so. Well, first of all, there's no Moon Knight in it. And that's a big problem. And again, it kind of confirms to me after 4 episodes that they don't give a crap about Moon Knight. They only care about Oscar Isaac. And I love the first one. I gave that a 9 out of 10 because I loved Oscar Isaac in it. I thought he did a great job of portraying Steven and a little bit of Mark in that one. But I really enjoyed the first episode a lot. But it seems like, and I mentioned this before, when you look at who produced it, Oscar Isaac produced it. He wants all the glory. He wants to keep Moon Knight far away so that he can do this extraordinary performance, do multiple personalities, get nominated for an Emmy, win it, and then he could put that on his resume. And that's why I think we're not seeing as much Moon Knight, because they either the writers or it's him. The writers might be trying to kiss his ass because he's executive producer, or he's like, I want the show to be about me. And again, like I had said previously, like when we said in this episode, they just don't get it. They don't realize that the fans don't give a damn about the actors that are playing the characters. They want to see the characters. They want to see Moon Knight. That's what I wanted to see. I was disappointed that they went to Egypt, because for me, I always pictured Moon Knight similar to Batman, a little different, but similar, you know, like where he kind of fought crime at night, you know, like would come out at night and kind of almost do vigilante stuff in the city, you know, not in Egypt. But I think that this, not that it's an origin story, but it's just going on for too long. And again, we're just not seeing enough Moon Knight. And I knew that was going to happen once they had Khonshu put into a statue form, like he could no longer summon Moon Knight, right?
Right. They can't summon the suit.
Yeah. Which again was a mistake. It's really sad because I really, really liked the show, and I was really hoping for this to be a home run. And right now it's probably, I still think WandaVision is worse than this, and well, Loki, like they're both crap shows, but this is just another piece of crap in the toilet. It still could come back, but you only got two episodes to come back, and they're pushing.
Oh, I thought we were down. This was episode 5, wasn't it?
No, this is 4.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Okay, 2 episodes left.
Yeah, no, I thought, like, when I saw that she was in that tomb and that guy was doing a sacrifice and pulling out organs, which I'm like, all right, this is Disney Plus.
Halima! That's what I was waiting for.
No, and he was a cool character and everything, but I never expected to see something like that on Disney Plus. And when I saw, like, he came out of the darkness and he grabbed her and he pulled her in, I was like,
and then, oh, she got away for a second. You saw her there and dragged back. I thought that was a great bit.
No, I thought it was going to be like how things used to be, that they were going to, that he was, first of all, he's, I don't know if I would say he was superhuman, this creature, but
he's like a undead.
Yeah, he's like a zombie
type guy.
You know, that he was going to sacrifice her to one of the gods, like we would see, like back in the 90s or the 80s, like where, you know, the female protagonist was captured by the villain and was going to be sacrificed, and then the hero would come and save her at the last minute. No, they can't do that anymore. That's not done anymore. So they got to have just some way for her to beat the crap out of that guy, rip his arm off. Didn't she stick his bones into his eyes or something?
She hit him with one of those flares into the eye.
Oh, it was a flare?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just like, she's overpowered too. Like you said, like with the whole flare thing, and, you know, not everybody has to be superpowered or have Black Widow status. It's like you would think that, again, it goes back to the whole Captain America and the shield. Not everybody could use that shield, like how they made Sam Wilson use it, and even Black Widow and What If. Only Steve Rogers could manipulate the shield the way that he does. Not everybody's Black Widow. If you're a female protagonist, that doesn't mean that you can do the exact same thing that the Black Widow did. She trained for years to be the person that she was. And then after her training, she worked with SHIELD too. She got even more training from them. So that's what I just don't get, you know, and I kind of dread Echo when that comes out. I could just imagine what she's going to be like. And Miss Marvel, it's just going to be, I just don't like the direction they're going in.
Echo, I don't understand why they're making it, but because if they're going to have D'Onofrio back as the Kingpin and Charlie Cox coming in, that gives me something to watch it for. Them, not her. Miss Marvel, from what I've seen in the trailer or teaser, whatever you want to call it, I have zero interest in that.
And I still want to see it. They'll probably bring in Captain Marvel. Brie Larson will be in that show.
I don't know, but there's from the trailer or teaser, whatever you want to call it, I just have no interest whatsoever to watch that. And like I said, I've watched all the Marvel stuff so far, but like I said, some of these projects I just don't have the interest in, and I don't know why they're making them. I just don't. But
you know, it's interesting.
Maybe they're not made for me. I'm not the target audience, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's sad because, you know, they're trying to check all the boxes and try to make everybody happy and end up making nobody happy, where I think that they should make separate things for separate people. You know, at some point all come together, but I just think they're heading in the wrong direction. But I was going to say, what's weird is that, you know, even if they bring Brie Larson into the Miss Marvel series, she's still not on the tier level as Hemsworth, Downey,
right.
You know, Evans. And it's weird again that Marvel is doing so much right with their movies. And when you look at DC, they're doing so much wrong with their movies. But Wonder Woman is on the top tier. And I would say that she's probably above Affleck and Cavill, you know, like when it comes to fan appreciation of a character. It's just so, it's weird how they have that reversed.
No, I hear you. I mean, and the other way, you know, DC does a lot right with its television products.
No, I mean, if you say
like
so.
I said, the Arrowverse has consistently been pretty good.
Is it? That's gone, though, right? I mean, I'm just saying.
No, like, I mean, it's
Arrow's gone, right?
The CW DC stuff has been pretty good. I mean, honestly, I think it's better than the Disney Plus stuff.
Yeah, I would
even
agree.
Though Disney Plus spends a heck of a lot more money on their Marvel series, I don't think any of them have the staying power that the CW DC stuff has.
I did hear, I think they're going to cancel Batwoman, which is not a surprise. That's like,
well, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the character. I don't see the big deal of her because, you know what, we have Batgirl already. Yeah. And Barbara Gordon is a great character all on her own. I don't know why we need a Batwoman. Don't know.
Well, I'm like that too with Spider-Woman and I guess you could say Spider-Gwen. You know?
Well, Spider-Gwen was an alternate universe version of her. But now they're both in the same universe now. Spider-Gwen is part of the MC proper, for lack of a better term. Before she was just like a fun alternate version.
Well, but getting back to
full-fledged character.
Getting back to Moon Knight. So what the hell was that hippo at the end?
I don't know. I was hoping Fedra would be able to explain who the hippo god was.
I thought that character was in the comics. So you never seen that character?
I don't know who that one is. I mean, there are characters we've seen in the Marvel comics. Like we've seen Horus, we've seen Ra, we've seen what's her name? Osiris. We've seen them in the comic books. We've seen Set in the comic books. So we've seen several of the Egyptian deities in there. And I think we've also seen Thoth, the god of knowledge. But I don't remember a hippo god. So I don't know. It didn't jump off jump out in my mind.
That didn't give me hope for the next episode, because I have a feeling that that's going to be a main character from now on with the last two episodes, and that it's going to talk.
It did talk.
Did it talk?
It had a woman's voice, too. It said, "Hi, guys."
Oh, I forget. You know.
And they both went, "Ah!" So, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, so not
like,
a fan.
Like, Bast is a cat. Horus, I believe, has the head of a hawk. I think Osiris is also like a bird-like figure. So yeah, I don't know who the hippo could be.
I don't know.
I just don't know. I'm not up on my Egyptian mythology, sorry.
So my rating is, I would give this 4 out of 10. I just wish that I wish they just never made it now.
No, for me, I enjoyed the Indiana Jones-ness of it.
Well, it makes me worried about Indiana Jones.
No, I mean, like the old style Indiana
Jones. No, I get you.
1, 2, and 3. Forget 4 was a bad dream. 5, I just can't imagine what it's going to be like. So,
see, I wouldn't mind Layla if she was on this journey with Moon Knight, you know? And we're just getting too much Steven and too much Mark. And who's the next character? Who's the third personality? Do you know?
We don't know yet. They haven't given him a name yet.
But in the comics, they don't have a third personality?
I don't know who this third guy could be.
Yeah, so we're going to get 3 spectacular performances by Oscar Isaacs. And I'm sure we'll see Moon Knight at the very end. They'll probably free Khonshu, in the 5th episode. And then they'll tease that we're going to see this incredible ending. And we won't get much of Moon Knight. We'll just get a lot of Mark running around and Steven running around yelling at each other. Or they might try to coexist at some point where they realize that they need each other and that they need to work together. But they're still doing that crap. As I told you last week, it's like, I'm never giving you this body back. And it's like, but you need me. No, I don't. Yes, you do. All right. I'm giving it to you back, but I want it right back. It's like, well, now that I have it, I'm never giving it back to you. But you need me now. I don't care. It's like, but you definitely need me. It's like, okay, but I want my body back when you're done. Nope, I'm not giving it back to you. We got that crap again this week. The writing is just horrendous. Horrendous.
Like I said, I enjoyed it.
Well, good for you. I'm glad when you enjoy things, you know. But I think most people thought it sucked. All right, let's wrap this one up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always email me at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on the Facebook. You can also check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as well as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney Universal news. And please visit the Carousel products. And then finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/wdwnt.com. With that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 19. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all. Be good to each other. And Tom from Philly, stay classy.